back. It's hour three of First Up here on TSN 1050. The song, a special request from our guest, James Duthie, who is on the line now. Daddy, I love him. No easy way to segue into this conversation, James. How are you?
I'm fine. A little sleepy on the Oilers beat last night. But
what time were you done that, James?
Well, the no overtime was a blessing. I think I walked. It wasn't too bad. I walked home at. I got home at like two.
We got to push these hits back for JD if he's doing Oilers and Canucks.
I forgot.
Well, the reason why I'm asking. Go ahead, James. Go ahead.
No, it's good. Go ahead.
The reason why I'm asking is because I got asked to do the Vancouver Edmonton game next week. It's a 10 p.m. game on Thursday, and I got to do the show at 6 a.m. So I'm just trying to envision how much sleep I'm going to get that night.
That's something that's called torture.
Yeah.
Just take the day off the show.
Although I would say the national broadcasts. You know, it's not bad if it's a if it ends in regulation. Like it ended, I think, 1 o'clock. So that's not bad. But if you got a double overtime or something, you just transition like straight from the game into your shift.
Yeah, I guess that's what I might have to do. And then I got Worlds right after that.
So James, we got a text from a listener from Guelph just moments ago. Was looking at some property in Alton, Ontario on Sunday, drove by TPC Osprey Valley, saw James Duthie waist deep in the ditch looking for his golf.
What?
Can you confirm this?
That would be a fair assessment quite often of my golf game, but you cannot drive by TPC and see the North Course. Okay. So
it's fake.
It's a logistical fallacy right there.
Well, give us the review. How does the North Course look? Apparently new upgrades, all the new clubhouse there. How's everything at TPC looking right now?
It's good. I saw you guys at Hamilton. I had a good back-to-back of TPC and Hamilton Sunday and Monday, and they're both awesome. Awesome
wow.
course. Hamilton's probably one of the nicest courses I've ever played. You guys can back that up.
Agreed.
And, you know, the North Course,
the rough
TPC
isn't nice.
Has, you're probably boring all your non-golf listeners to death,
sure.
So we'll do this quickly. But there's three courses at TPC, and the North was probably usually my least favorite of the three. The other two are incredible. North is really good, but they've really souped it up. They've added all these bunkers. They've lengthened it. So when it does host the Canadian Open, which it will, it could be, you know, 7,300 yards or something ludicrous like that. You guys and me would never play off of. So
you certainly would never play off that.
But here's the thing. They're building villas and stuff there, right? They're trying to make it like an inland Cabot where people come and stay. So I suggest, we have our own little. We got a little villa. As soon as they're done,
play and stay.
Six rounds in 3 days. You know, first up, Ryder Cup.
Oh, buddy, we do the morning show remote there.
Ah,
jump on the course.
Ah,
all right,
there you go,
it's
buddy.
Done.
I'm in.
It's booked.
Great idea.
It's booked.
Now
great
we should probably
idea.
Talk
so,
hockey before your listeners turn this off.
They probably already did turn. But if you're still with us, we do appreciate it. You mentioned you got home at 2:30 last night because the Canucks and the Oilers puck drop at 10 Eastern. Thank you very much, Gary Bettman. And
10:20.
What a game it was. What 10:20, exactly. What a game it was. Edmonton takes a 4-1 lead, and they just collapse. What happened to the Edmonton Oilers?
It was a weird hockey game. First of all, you're right. You get 40 seconds in. Like Rick Tocchet had 6 days to get his team ready. And I'm sure he said about 300 times, do not take penalties against these guys. And 40 seconds in, Ian Cole jumps off the bench and they take a too many men and Hyman puts it in the back of the net. And it's just your absolute worst case scenario. And I think that rattled Artur Schielhoff, the young goaltender who was so good against Nashville, because he was not great, particularly on the fourth goal, which was just a muffin between his legs, and it was 4-1. And at that point, you know, Carlo knows when you're on the panel, we're already talking about we're going to talk about post game halfway through the game, because you're not coming back 4-1 against the Oilers. And then it's funny, Draisaitl, it had been a fairly even game, frankly, to that point. But Draisaitl got hurt and left. And as soon as that happened, it completely tilted Vancouver's way. I don't know what the numbers are, but it's, I think Edmonton had like two shots over, I don't know, 25 minutes of game time or something. And Draisaitl came back, but he wasn't quite the same. And it was just Vancouver they completely shut them down. They dominated play. They turned it into like one of those Nashville games where nobody was getting any shots and the only real punches were coming from the Canucks way. And they just, Skinner was a little shaky down the stretch. And Vancouver forced Edmonton to play Canucks-style hockey. And to me, that was the most impressive thing about game one, is that the Oilers never really played their game whatsoever. And it's interesting going forward. I mean, McDavid said afterwards he was fairly happy with their game. It's not like the Oilers were brutal, but that's got to be a shock to the system for that team to blow a 4-1 lead like that, especially, you know, against a really inexperienced rookie goaltender. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens in game two. And Draisaitl, they all downplayed the injury after the game. McDavid said he's fine. Knobloch said he's fine. Draisaitl said I'm fine. But I don't know, man. That guy's a tough kid, and back spasms, if that's what it was, they were calling it cramping, I think. But those are tricky things. So hopefully it's not a factor at all the rest of the series, because we want to see a series with healthy Draisaitl. But I'd be a little concerned going forward if I was Edmonton.
James Duthie, our guest here in the third hour, first up. I want to shift our focus to Toronto and the Maple Leafs, as our hockey insider Darren Dreger yesterday reporting that it's more likely than not that the Leafs move on from Sheldon Keefe and that Craig Berube is a top candidate to replace him. And I find it really interesting thinking back on all the media appearances that Craig Berube has done over the past couple of months. He's been on this station many times, the rival station, down on Sherbourne as well, and he's been on the NHL on TNT panel. Do you think that's a purposeful thing for Berube and his agency to get him out there and make sure that teams and management and ownership are seeing him all over the different national networks? Is that an idea, or maybe am I overthinking it?
No, you're 100% correct. And look, this has been the game forever. We, in my whatever years on the panel, I guess it's 20 years now, how many ex-coaches have we had come through? Maybe 30, maybe 40. And it's not because they want to hang out with me. It's an old philosophy of get your face out there, remind people that you're smart, and it works. I think we have 100% success rate, I believe, on our time on the panel. That's not even to mention the other networks, of getting guys rehired. I mean, Torts didn't want to come on our panel when he wasn't hired, but he figured that was the only way to keep himself out there. And I think his purpose when he came on our panel was to try to show people that he wasn't the Torts you always see in news conferences, that he could be calm and rational. And so that's why they do it. And like I said, it works. Peter Laviolette, we had this track record. I'm being facetious here saying that it was all us, but we would get guys hired within like 3 months half the time.
And what happened to Brucey then? How come it hasn't happened to Brucey then?
Okay, Brucey's our one exception right now, but I still have hope for Brucey. And it's still early, but now Brucey's more towards the end of his career than a lot of the guys did. But yeah. You know what? I'm trying to think. You know, Claude Noel, former coach of the Jets, I do not believe got rehired.
Ooh,
so
that's a name.
He had a brief stint on TSN, and that might have been... So, okay, maybe not 100% success rate. Maybe it's 92.3. But, yeah, that's why they do it. And it amazes me, because I'm like you, AK. I'm like, does that really work? Does going on a panel help your odds of getting hired? But I think it's like anything else in the world, that you're out there, and maybe the owner of the team that's has a vacancy sees you, and he says to the GM, you know what, I really like that Paul Maurice guy on the TSN panel. Mo came like three times between jobs. And,
got to keep yourself out of sight, out of mind, right? You keep yourself relevant.
It's true. And so I don't know if really how much that factors into them getting hired, but it seems to work.
Well, maybe to help Brucey, we should bring in O's the Mentalist and get him to brainwash people
I wish Brucey would get another gig, but I don't want him to do.
Well, selfishly, I don't want him to do it because I love when he's around the TSN.
I just know how much he loves the guy. Loves coaching. Like of all the guys who come through there, I don't know that there's many more that just love the game the way he loves the game. They just love watching every single night. And yeah, so I hope he gets another shot somewhere along the way.
Well, let's hope. Fingers crossed. I'd love to know your thoughts on how Utah is handling their whole name selection. Apparently, it was reported yesterday that they're going to have the Utah on their jersey, and they've put out this big survey of names that they're asking their fan base to choose. Have you got a chance to view any of the names that have been selected and which one stands out for you?
Well, I'm just cheering out of pure comedy for the Utah Powder because there's just a lot of jokes that could go there. But I don't know. I like them. I like a lot of them, actually. I kind of like the whole Mammoth and Yeti and stuff like that. I think it's odd to me that you have enough time that you could put a name on and it's going to feel weird. You know, almost like the PWHL where we just called them Toronto and Ottawa and, you know, Minnesota and such. But I think they almost learned something like that. A, business-wise, you can just double your merch, right? You're going to sell a million Utah jerseys the first year. And then as soon as you put out the logo the next year, everybody's going to have to get a new one. So I think there's probably a reasonable, that's why all the NHL teams use multiple jerseys as many times as they possibly can, the alternate jersey and this jersey and that jersey. So I think that's probably has something to do with it. And I guess secondarily, you just don't want to make that, you don't want to make that mistake of jumping to a name after a 1 week contest and then having regrets for the next 20 years if it sucks.
James, thank you for getting up early for us. We appreciate it. It was great to see you on Monday as well, and we look forward to seeing you again soon. Maybe on the golf course next Friday. Do we still have that standing day with Davis Sanchez? Carlo, unfortunately, is working. He's doing the worlds, but maybe we'll tee it up next
week. Yeah, buddy, I'm in anytime. I kind of got to go bounce off. Oh, yeah, and plus your tee times are great for me. All my buddies want to tee it up at like 7:30, and that's not going to be a functioning purpose for me after a Vancouver Edmonton game.
Excellent. So
I'm on all over the Corona Koliakova, like noon tee off times.
Noon. Let's do it. It's my specialty. Man. It's on.
Thanks,
Carlos
boys.
Gonna skip his game.
Our boy Uncle Wayno is all over me wanting to get our match settled or at least started sometime.
Let's make
soon,
it happen. So. I'm good
done.
To go.
Yes.
Any day. Noon it is.
I told him, I said, end of the month when my hockey schedule's done.
Seems reasonable. Thank you, James. Yeah.
Carlo, do not do the Canucks Oilers game followed by radio, followed by the World Championship. Do not do that, okay?
Why? It's one night. I can suck it up, man.
Yeah. You know who's actually affected by that, James, more so than anyone? It's me.
Well,
this guy will be asleep.
Audience.
And the audience. That's number. A good point. I'll have to.
No. I'm Team TSN, buddy.
Okay.
I do Team TSN. Sleep.
See you, boy.
I'll catch up on my sleep later. See you, buddy.
That's James Duthie from TSN. What a guy. Sleeps for 5 hours, and he's like, all right, the phone's ringing.
But here's the thing, Iggy. I looked at it, and I'm like, well, I'm going to be there already as it is, so why not just. I'm being asked to do a favor, so I'm going to do the favor, and hopefully this favor comes back to me one day, right? You know what I mean?
I like it. It's sports media. It's not easy. You don't just get everything handed to you on a silver platter. You've got to pay your dues.
It's not like I'm like leaving my house at like 9:30 to go to this game. I'm doing the OHL game that night. I'm in the building, stay there for another couple hours, and depending how long the game goes, you know, the following day, I mean, actually, that day I have all afternoon to catch up on sleep. And the following day I have all night to catch up on sleep. So you make the best of it, man.
Make the best of what's around.
I'm moving into a hotel tomorrow night for 10 days.
What a dream. Big party in Scarborough, Ontario. Let's go.
Yeah.
The suite at the Delta.
Sleep party.
What a time.
Yes.
What a time. All right. So JP Ricciardi, in about 15 minutes, we'll talk about the Toronto Blue Jays. Their win yesterday, their team meeting, and what it could signify going forward. The day off today ahead of 3-game set against the Minnesota Twins tomorrow. You're listening to the third hour of First Up here on TSN Radio.